All right, we are right at the top of the page here. Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. And we had just talked about how this whole thing with the fruit dust that you sprinkle on to make a good aroma. So it says you can do that only if it's not with coals, because when it's with coals, you have a problem of mechaba and you have a problem of igniting the way that the way that it's going to fall onto the coals. However, al gavi charis would be mutter if you would do it with some kind of earthenware vessels. Then that's not really a problem of burning, because that doesn't burn. At the same time, it will heat up the dust or whatever it is, the fruit pieces, and it'll create that aroma. So Rabba Amar Agave Cheres Nami Asi says also by the Cheres is not good because Mishim Dekam Molid Recha, you're creating a smell. This is specifically on Yantif, right? I think we're only talking about Yantif. In which case, what's the real problem with that? Yeah, this is on Yantif. So what's the problem with creating a smell? They said because it's similar to creating something, right? It's like a Malka Bepatish type of thing. Okay. We were generally, but sometimes we're leaning about this. It looks like you're creating something. You're not actually creating something. I mean, you are, but in a halachic sense, you're not creating something that would be halachic problematic because you're not doing it. It's the heat that's causing some kind of chemical imbalance or chemical change inside the thing, whatever. But we have other times where we're leaning. So sometimes this is actually a thing. So Rabbi says this would cross that threshold. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damit Rav Yosef Tzichufei Kasa Ashirai B'yom Atava. You're able to cover a cup which has some kind of spices in it, also to make it smell good, on top of some kind of cloth, like a
silk
cloth, yeah. On Yantif, so that the smell goes into the cup. No, so that the smell nice. From the cup goes into the clothing. So then, if you would do that, that would be usser. So my time, also you're creating a smell. How's it different from, I think we said mololo before, was to rub something. Here it's referring to some kind of branch. We'll talk about this in 10 days from now. But some kind of branch which has smell on it. So you're trying to create some kind of smell, and I assume you're like rubbing it between your fingers or something like that. Right? You shake the besamim or something like that. You agitate it so it smells. The coat smell, and you're cutting it off to create a smell. And you can smell it. So Gemara says, how's that different? You're creating smell in both situations. So Gemara says, hasam recha mi'aisa. It's already there. You can smell it, but it's just not as potent until you rub it. The osufe hu de kamosif recha. You're just creating more of it. Hacha olude hu de kamolud recha. Here, these situations, it doesn't exist yet until you actually do this process. What exactly did you do? The first time I get it, because you're putting it on top of something hot, and therefore it's creating a smell which wasn't there before. But the second time, what did you do? You covered a cup with some kind of cloth, and then you just let it sit there.
Yeah, except the garment, the cloth, didn't have a smell, and now it does. In other words, you're creating it
from the garment's perspective.
On the garment.
Uh-huh. Okay, I hear.
Sort of like above, the issue is you're creating the fragrance on the earthenware you're using.
Okay. There, I thought it was because the heat actually brings out the smell, which wasn't there before. But maybe you're right. Maybe the smell was already there also on the fruit pieces.
I don't know. It's not me. It's Rabbi Yartzer.
Okay.
I don't want to make it sound
That makes sense. So the Gemara says, Rava says even more leniently that even on top of a coal would be okay. Me did have a bistra gumri. Just like we allow you, for the sake of ochel nefesh, right? This is another kind of pleasure. Just like you would put meat on top of coals to cook it or to roast it on Yantif. So too, you could put these things on top of coals. It's another kind of benefit which would fall under Ochel Nefesh. So Darsh Rav Giviha Mibei Kasil, place called Bei Katil, Apischa Dvereish Galusa, Ketura Shari. Ketura. It doesn't say what Ketura is, but we know Ketura has something to do with fire. So Amar Le'amemar Ma Ketura. E Ketura Biyadei. What does that mean? Ketura, like you are...
To press sleeves.
What is it?
To press sleeves. Like iron.
To press?
Press.
To iron.
But what are you doing to it? You're heating it up?
I assume so, yeah. I mean, if you're going to press it, it probably means you're heating it up.
Okay, something like... are you folding something?
For depressing the pleats into the leggings of sleeves?
Uh-huh, you're doing this, it's like a laundering mechanism.
Yeah.
So Masa Umanhu, that's like a real trade, a real skill. Vila Ashen Aser Tahaka Mechabe. And if it's the same kind of thing that you're smoking, you're heating it up and for the sake of ironing, so then that would also be also just like we said, you can't smoke the fruits. So Amar le Rav Ashi la'ashin miti dehava bisrak gumri. According to Rav, at least we said that you're allowed to because that is something which is similar to the meat on the coals, which we said was okay because also a chonavish type of thing. And therefore, this is maybe why they said ketur sharia, so it's a similar thing. Okay, not 100% sure what the mechanism is. Maybe you're heating it up and then you're putting it on the clothing, but I don't know why that would be the same thing as making a good fragrance. Either way, if you're doing it with your actual hands, so then you're doing a pretty skilled task. If you're just talking about creating some kind of smoke or creating some kind of heat, so aster to kamol recha, you're creating some kind of smell, with whatever material this thing is made out of. Amar of Ashi, ana amrisid nehalei. I guess with the ironing, there's some kind of smell that's going into it. Is that true?
It doesn't say that. I think it's just it's creating. It doesn't say anything about it.
Okay, so I'm not sure exactly why this is a problem. But it says, Ana Amrisa Nahalei, I said this din in front of Rav Gaviha, Mishmei Tegav Rav Amrisa Nahalei, and I said it, you know, I quoted it from a significant source. La'olam, this is what he said to me.
Oh, okay. I think I figured it out.
Hmm.
It says here in the notes here that they would tighten... The press was tightened onto the garments by tying and knotting rope around it. So you're making knots. Is that a problem?
Yes, that could be, but that's not what the Gemara says here. It says that the problem is molid recha.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with smell here, that's for sure.
So I'm not sure. Maybe it's just saying, I don't know. So la'olam la'ashen, really, ketura is to smoke up the fruit. Umidi dehava abisra gomri. And really, it's the same thing as the meat going on the coals. You're allowed to do it. Okay? I guess we're changing it. That ketura is not referring to that ironing process. Rather, it's referring to the same thing as the ishin thing that you were saying before, smoking the fruits. Meaning we're changing it's a completely different thing. It's not the ironing thing. V'osin gedimi kulas, we said you could have this kid delicacy. So tan rabbi yosi omar todos ishromi. Hearing us b'nei romi lechol gedimi kulas v'leil psachim. I remember Todos Ishromi. What was Todos Ishromi? What did he do? He made the, I think he made the drasha about Hanan Mishal Nazari, didn't he? No? Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Rami Lachol Gedim Kulas. B'leil Psalm Shacholei Ilmali Todos At Gozarnu Alecha Nidoi Shatam Achos B'nei Yisrael Kash Machutz. If, and, oh, right. Todos Romi was this big macher. And if it was, if you weren't Torah Sishromi, so we would have, you know, punished you for doing such a thing, because now people are eating Pesachim, they're eating the Karban Pesach outside of the outside of Yerushalayim. So Gemara says, Kachim Zagadaitich? We're not talking about Kachim. We're talking about this goat. Right? It's Zechel Karban Pesach, but it's not the Karban Pesach.
But we don't roast anything else on.
Right, nowadays we don't. Right, this that was this Gemara. Ela ema ke'en kachim. You're making people think that you're eating kachim b'chutz, and that's the problem. You're doing something which is similar to kachim. Okay, Mishnah says, Shlosh devar Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari ma'atir v'cham ostrin. Three things Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari says are good, Cham say no good. Paraso yotze birtua ben shebin karneha. First, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari said that the ox is allowed to go out even on Shabbos, into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, with the strap which is between its horns, a decorative strap.
Why would it need a strap?
I don't know. It's decorative. It doesn't need it.
Yeah. It's like idiot. We just pulled the idios mission in.
So maybe you would think that's not okay because you're not allowed to carry something outside. So your ox shouldn't be allowed to. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thought that this is dependent on how you define the strap. The strap is not a functional carrying, but rather it's a decoration. It's similar to wearing jewelry or something like that, and therefore it's a piece of clothing. It's not a piece of it's not something you're, it's not a burden. So mekardin, second thing was mekardin es haveim of yom tov. Does that mean to comb?
Yeah.
Okay. If it's dirty or something, you can clean it with this comb. That's number two. And number three, v'shochkin es ha-pilpulin b'reichayim shalahen. And you can actually grind peppers in its own mill.
In their grinder. Well, we have that today.
In its own grinder? What do you mean? Like if it has a grinder that's as opposed to like a... Yeah, uses people, something else.
You know, people...
Oh, those
pepper,
things.
You know, they buy peppercorns and they grind
okay,
it.
Interesting.
As soon as they want it because it's better
right,
than
that. Right. Rabbi Elazar thinks that's... Ochel nefesh, I assume. And Chacham say no, that's something which is unnecessarily used, at least in the way that it's being used with that specific grinder. You could grind in other ways, but you don't have to do it the same way. You should do some kind of shinoi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Rekardinus of Hamas, Vyom Tuvnei She'osa Chabura, you shouldn't comb the animal because you're going to create some kind of wound. Aval Mekartzefin. But you could do some kind of other thing.
Yeah, so this is.
Yeah, it's talking about the difference between a metal comb and a wood comb, that I guess a metal comb could cause a wound.
Uh-huh, and a wood is more forgiving.
It has thick teeth, doesn't...
Uh-huh,
doesn't
you're not going to pierce it at all.
Yeah.
Chacham omrim ein mekardin lo af lo mekartzefin. Chacham say you can't do anything, because it's going to come to lead you to the other one. So Lameimer says, the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, chada par havyalei. Oh, we remember this Gemara. Remember there's a Gemara in Brachos about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's neighbor, or a Shabbos, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's neighbor had an animal, and it was going out with some kind of thing connected to its legs, and they said, "Wait a second, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he was filthy rich. He had thousands of oxen. Why are you telling me his one ox? Oh no, it was his neighbor's ox, but he was responsible because he saw it and didn't say anything. Remember that, Kamara? No." I came up in another shear once.
He only had one because he was.
So now we're saying something else. V'hama Rav Amrila Amrav Yehuda Amrav Tlesa Alfig Egle. He had tons and tons of calves. Havim Aser Rabbi Elazar ben Azari Me'edra Kol Shat V'Shata. That's what he would give us. Meiser, thousands of calves for Meiser, right? Meiser is only 1/10 of what he really had. So the Gemara says Tana Lo Shalo Haisa El Shal Shchento Haisa Umitoch Shlo Michaba Nikres Al Shemo. He saw that his neighbor's cow had this potential violation of Shabbos prohibitions, and therefore it's considered like his because he should have said something. This is the same exact Gemara. I recall that being a different thing that the animal was carrying. But either way, I'll say Makardin, so maybe Yom Tov. Tana Rabbanan Ezu Kerud Ezu Kirtzav. What's the difference? Kerud Kitanim. I guess like Aaron was saying before, it's thinner spikes. Ve'osen Chabura Kirtzav Kedolim Ve'en Osen Chabura. They're larger teeth to the comb, and therefore does not create a wound. V'shalosh machlokos bedavar. There are three different machlokos in here. Rabbi Yehuda savar davar she'enu miskavin aser. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion generally that when you do something which is unintended, even though you do the malacha fully, it's still going to be aser. Mihu kerud kitanim osim chabura. Nonetheless, sometimes it creates a chabura, because that's when it can create a davar she'enu miskavin. Right? Only when there's a possibility of that even happening unintentionally. Okay. But when it comes to kirtzef, gedolim ve'enos an chabur v'lo gazrin kirtzef atu kirit, and we don't make a gazer lest you come to use the other one. V'ravanas arinamik Rabbi Yehuda, davar she'enu miskavin aser. So they also think davar she'enu miskavin did something unintentionally on Shabbos is aser. V'gazrin kirtzef atu kirit, and they say there's a gazera as to using the bigger teeth, lest you come to use the smaller teeth, the thinner ones, which are going to create the chabur. That's a gzera on top of gzera. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Zara, Sarvalak, Rabbi Shimon, Ta'amar, Davar She'enu Miskavin, Mutter, Ubein Kirit, Ubein Kirit, Tzavshari. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thinks, no, that Davar She'enu Miskavin is Mutter, assuming that it's not a Psik Resha, right? A lot of Davar She'enu Miskavin that are Psik Reshas. If you were to walk through a soft field and create a furrow in the grass, so that might be davar she'enu miskavin. You don't care to make that furrow, but it's obviously going to happen. So you should have known better, right? And therefore, it's even more stringent, even though you think davar she'enu miskavin is mutter. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Amar Rav Nachman, L'chudei Halach Rabbi Shimon. We pass on Rabbi Shimon that davar she'enu miskavin is mutter. Sharei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Modelo. Because he was moded to him, in what case? In this case, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, "You can do this thing with the comb." So I'm Rav Lev Nachman Liam Amar Halach Rabbi Yehuda Sharei Chacham Modim Lo. Why don't we say that Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda because the Chachamim agree with him? So Amar Le Ana Rabbi Shimon Sfirili Ve'Oh Sharei Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Modim Lo. First of all, I pass like Rabbi Shimon, and secondly, Rav Elazar ben Azariah agrees. It's not just because someone else agrees. That's not the only reason. Okay, new Mishnah. We have a little time, actually. New Mishnah says like this. Hare chayim shel pilpulin. The mill, or the grinder, right? You said that's what it was. Which is apparently made of three different pieces. Temeya mishum shlosha kelim. Each part of the kli is considered its own kli. Okay. Number one, Mishum Kli Kibul. One of them, I guess, is the receptacle for the grindings. And that's going to be Katami because it's a receptacle. One of them is Mishum Kli Matechas. One of them is because it's metal. And that's why it's Tame. Mishum Kli Kavara. What's the Kavara? How do you translate Kavara?
Sieve.
Yeah, but... Oh, I've got a good picture. You have a picture?
You have a picture?
Uh-huh. That's what we're talking about. There's three pieces, and I guess they're all laid into each other.
They're all useful by themselves. So that's
right.
They couldn't be tummy.
The top one is, I guess you would put the food in between the kvara, which is the sieve, and the matachas on top. And the matachas, you would push down on it or something, and it would grind and go through the sieve into the receptacle on the bottom.
We have a modern coffee grinder that looks like that.
Yeah, at Costco they sell the pepper and salt ones.
Yeah, it's all hand done. It's three parts.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting question whether you have to tovel those. Some of them have pieces of metal in them. The Costco ones, I think, are completely plastic.
Food, the top held coffee beans before they were ground.
Yeah. So it also depends on when you use them.
It was for work, but we did it. Right. Because it's touching all this food.
Yeah. So generally, if something could be used for a meal, you would do tefillah on it. In this case, it's like an in-betweener type of thing, because it's not something you do at the table necessarily. Mm-hmm. But we're generally machmir for it, because it's like you could be used as like a salt shaker. Right? You use a salt shaker, you bring to the table. Right. In which case, that's something you have to tovel.
Tovel our here, pots and pans. We don't bring them to the table.
Your pots and pans you don't bring to the table.
But we tovel them.
Well, you could bring them to the table.
Okay.
Right, so that's a similar type of thing.
That's why when in doubt, toivo.
Yeah, when in doubt, toivo, yeah.
Without a bracha.
It depends on the situation, but yeah. Okay. So these three pieces are all tummy. So I'm somewhat... So Tana Tachtona Mishum Kli Kibul, Emtsais Mishum Kli Kvara, Elyon Mishum Kli Matechas. Okay, different price that has a different order here. That the bottom was because it's a receptacle, which we said before, but the middle one is because it's a sieve, and the top one is because it's metal. That's a different order than what we said before.
Do they explain it? Yeah.
Right. Sure. Yeah, I was afraid of some tuma stuff over there, but
that's where we learned about these boards that are curved a little bit, so they become a bowl. They feel like a bowl, and they can become tame. Even though
we learned that,
it has not yet. We haven't yet, but it came up in I forget what.
Yeah, there was one thing about I think in Shabbos. If you talk, was it Shabbos? Might have been Erevin, where we talked about like bows and arrows and whether they had like a little receptacle at the end of the bow, at the end of the arrow, where you would put the arrow into it. So they had like a little hole in it. It was that a receptacle for Tumah and Tahara stuff. I feel like it was later than that. But. All right, so new Mishnah. Mishnah says another Tumah Tahara thing. Agala shel katan. A child's carriage or a wagon. Tumea midras. It's considered the wagon itself is considered like it's susceptible to tuma because it's something that goes over other things, right?
It's midrash.
It's set for sitting, and anything that's set for sitting can contract the tuma of the person that's sitting in. Then he tells b'Shabbos, and it can be taken on Shabbos because it is a kli, meaning that. It's not something which is, I guess, muktzah maybe, right? That you have to prepare kalim. You can't prepare random things, but this is a kli, so it would be okay if you needed it. Ve'ena nigreres el agabe kalim. It can only be strolled or whatever, rolled, stroll. I don't know what the word is.
Dragged.
Dragged is like a weird word. It has wheels, I assume. No. Okay, it can only be taken when it's when it has other things underneath it. Is that what it means?
A wheel wearing under clothing, but not on a dirt floor.
Right, meaning when there's something underneath it, because if it's on dirt floor, like we were saying before, just coincidentally, that you're going to create a furrow when you're putting it through the regular ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Kim Eini Grarin Chutz Min HaGala. Anything else can't be dragged, but this can be. Mibneshi Koveshes. Because it simply
presses,
but it doesn't create a furrow, right? When you do the furrow, the concern is that you're doing a harisha, that you're doing like a plowing type of thing. Plowing, you have to actually dig something up. Here, it's completely just pressing down.
Right.
I think that's what we're saying.
Was it Rabbi Eliezer before that you could pull the bench, even though it's going to create a furrow?
That's a Darshavus Gavim Segresha thing, yeah.
His wagon's more like a sled than a wagon.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
So these are the wheels are fancy. Wagons.
It doesn't say anything about wheels, you're saying?
It's anything about
wheels. Uh-huh. Yes, okay, that makes more sense actually, because then we're talking about really a big pressing that's going on, as opposed to like a little one. If you have like a wheel that's pressing into the ground, so that does kind of look like a furrow. And the size of it might be like pulling some dirt up, but it's like one big flat thing, so maybe it's not. So the Gemara says, "Agal shel katan tmei midras tahasamech ilave," that the child is dependent on it, and therefore it's something that can contract tuma. So when he tells with Shabbos, and it can be taken on Shabbos, mishum teika toras kliola, because you have to it has the notion of a kli. And therefore, it's not usher to take it unless it's a kli shemachta lisser, it's a kli whatever. The in the grass al gabe kalim can only be on top of something else, but not on top of the ground. Al gabe kalim in al gabe karka lo. My timer. Why can't you do it on top of ground? The ka'abir charitz, because you're creating a furrow in the ground. So Mani, who's that going according to? Rabbi Yehudi, Dharma Darvashana Miskavin Asr, right? It's exactly what I was talking about before. I did not prepare this stuff. So I did not know this was coming. To E Rabbi Shimon, because if it was going to Rabbi Shimon, Ha Amar Darvashana Miskavin Mutzer, going to Rabbi Shimon would be okay. And that's exactly, interesting enough, what Rabbi Yehuda is about to say later. So, Davar Shem Yisgav Matzer, Ditanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer Gorer, Adam Yitik Kikzeh Chasav Sal, Lelash Le Yisgav Nasal Skritz, that Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to drag these things, assuming that you don't have the intention to make a charetz. And then Davar Shem Yisgav, and it's okay. But the Gemara says, wait a second, Ema Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein HaKol Nigram B'Shabbat Chus Min HaGom Yim Neshim Koveshes. Rabbi Yehuda, the same guy. You just told me Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's machmir. The Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that Davar Shem Yisgavin is aser, even if you don't have the intention to do something, so it's still going to be aser when you do it. And Rabbi Shimon's the one that says it's okay. So why is it that the same Rabbi Yehuda comes along at the end of the Mishnah and says, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. You're allowed to pull this sled or to pull this wagon, whatever. Gemara says, V'mneshe koveshes in, aval chritz lo avda. But it's saying that that doesn't make a chritz, and therefore it's not a problem. But how's that different from Rabbi Shimon Shita?
They had the bad wheel. There's a comment that the wheels, the ones with the wheels, would the wheel would get stuck, like the shopping carts we don't like.
Maybe we're talking about wheels, I don't know.
And then it would plow. So at the very end.
But that means that the first part is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara said, no, trade Tanai Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. There are two different Tanayim here that are both going within Rabbi Yehuda but have different interpretations of it. The first Tana, which says you can only put it on clothing and not on the ground itself, that's going like Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that Devashenu is governing Zasser. And the second Tana, which is going also according to Rabbi Yehuda, thinks that it's only okay when you're not going to create a charitz at all. But if you're going to create a charitz, if you're going to create some kind of furrow, so that's going to be a problem. Which is why he's saying here, this agala is only okay when you are pressing down. I guess it sounds as if it's like a matter of probability.
So it's not likely the wheel's going to get stuck. It doesn't say who the Tana is. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. And this Barashi's comment.
Right, the end of the last Tana thinks that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, but it's such a far-fetched possibility that you're going to create some kind of furrow that we're not worried about it. Okay, I don't have the next stop on here, so I can start this mission, but I can't actually finish it. So, Ein Sadin Dagim B'Yamin HaBivarim B'Yom Tov. Yeah, I'll get to it in a second. You can't trap fish from the nets on Yantif. Right? This is the chiddush about how far removed does something have to be from Ochel Nefesh to allow you, how far does it have to be removed from your table to allow you to do it on Yantif? Right? We don't allow you to drive to the store for the sake of getting food.
There's a fish pond.
Okay. Fish pond. Okay. And you can't put in front of them food. I assume also to bring them in.
I'm not sure why. They'll bring them.
Okay, about Sadan Chayav Oaf, Min HaBeibarim.
Oh, they don't rely on us for food, that's why.
Right, they're not ours. But you're allowed to catch animals and birds, Venosan of name is Zonos. Right, it's just fish you're not allowed to. Because fish are not our responsibility, or they don't need to eat right now. Rishima Gamliel, Omer, Lo Kol HaBeibarim Shavim. Not all enclosures are the same. Zeh klal, kol hamechusar tzeda aser, anything which is lacking trapping, meaning it's in order for you to get it, it needs to be trapped somehow. So that's aser. V'she'en mechusar tzeda mutter, whatever does not require trapping is going to be mutter. The Gemara is obviously going to explain what types of things these are, but we'll see some distinctions about different animals, some that are trappable and some that are already considered trapped. Shkayach.
Shkayach, Rabbi.